Flight by Robert C. Newman. Brief abstract. Light 1, the creation of light, the first in a series of 8 talks on light as it occurs in Scripture. The first 2 talks deal with physical light. In this talk, we discuss the creation of light, Genesis 1, verses 3 through 5, and the appearance of light sources, Genesis 1, 14 through 19. What are the purposes of light for our benefit as humans? Overview. A series of 8 talks on light given to a young people's camp at French Creek State Park in Pennsylvania, August 1979. The first 2 talks look at light as it is in nature in order to understand the biblical analogies which make up the remaining 6 talks. The series contents will look like this. First, the creation of light from using Genesis 1. 2, light revealing God using Psalm 19. 3, God's Word as light, using Psalm 119. 4, Messiah the Light, using selected materials from chapters of Isaiah, chapters 8 and 9. 5, God our light in bad times, from Micah chapter 7. 6, God is light, from 1 John, selected verses of chapters 1 and 2. Talk 7, walk as children of light, from Ephesians 5, and 8, let your light shine, from Matthew 5. First of all, in this talk, the creation of light, Genesis 1. In order to understand the Bible's use of light as an illustration of very spiritual truths, it's helpful to understand some things about light in the physical world. Here, we'll look at the creation of light by God in Genesis 1, 3 through 5, and the appearance of light sources in Genesis 1, 14 through 19. So first, creation of light, Genesis 1, 3 through 5, NIV. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. God created light as part of his plan in organizing the matter he had created earlier. The Genesis account gives no creation of darkness, as dark is merely the absence of light. As we shall see, however, darkness does have a symbolic function in the Bible. So, God speaks. God said, let there be light. God speaks, and it happens. This is true of everything God does, but does it mean that God does not often use various means to bring about his will? God is rather like the author of a novel who determines what occurs in the novel, even though various characters in the novel may cause these events to happen. Well, what was created here in this account? Was this just pure light, independent of anything else? Was it some sort of electrical light phenomenon? Was it the flash of the Big Bang? Was it sunlight? Well, we aren't told, so commentators have made various suggestions. I suggest that this was sunlight. Now see my PowerPoint talk, Genesis 1 and the origin of the earth. The account goes on to tell us that God sees the light as good, and we might ask the question, what is this light good for? Well, here light is mentioned without any source being seen. Part of the reason for the diversity of opinion on what sort of light it was. But even if we can't see a source, this light is good for, as the text tells us, illumination, and for heat, and for giving and sustaining life. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 through 19, we have the account of the appearance of light sources. NIV again. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and to let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. Let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made 2 great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and night, to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. and there was evening, and it was morning, the fourth day. So, the appearance of light sources. This happens after God has done further work on the earth since the creation of light in chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, so the intervening verses 6 through 13 deal with some of these things. This work includes earth's atmosphere, dry land, and plants. We wonder whether these light sources were made right here in verses 14 through 19, as some suggest, or were they caused to appear after having been made back in verses 3 through 5. I suggest that these appear now because God has caused the atmosphere to clear up, that the atmosphere was initially cloudy, opaque in some sense, and that now clears up. You'll have to see my slide, my PowerPoint talk on Genesis 1, the origin of the earth. What about the purposes of these light sources? Well, we're told in the account that these light sources function to separate day and night, to act as signs, to mark the seasons, days, and years. The NIV takes the acting as signs and marking the seasons as one item, but I've split them here as that's certainly a possible reading of the Hebrew. To illuminate the earth, to govern the day, that is the sun will, and to govern the night, the moon will. A question, how do they do this? Well, how do they do this? Some of these things were not known by humans in ancient times, and others were. Some of these we now know. To separate day and night, clearly the sun does this by illuminating our atmosphere. Not sure the ancients knew that, but the ancients did know that the sky lit up as the sun rose. They may not have known why or how. Of course, God knew. How do they function as signs? Well, we're not sure if the author intends anything more than marking off the seasons, days, and years here, as the NIV translation would suggest, but it's possible that eclipses, comets, and things of that sort might be included as signs that function as well. We're told that these lights in the sky marks seasons and years. Already in ancient times, before the development of detailed calendars, farmers knew from the relative position of stars in the sun when to plant their crops. And we have some material from a number of ancient sources that give us some indications of this sort. And people mark the passing of the year by the return of the sun to its same position among the stars. So what constellations rose when it got dark at night, etc., were different for different times of the year. How do these objects mark the months? Well, the phase of the moon mark off the months. In ancient calendars, the months actually corresponded to the moon's phases, though they don't in our current Western calendar. That is, ancient calendars were lunar calendars, or perhaps lunisolar calendars, with adding an extra month in on certain years to keep the seasons lined up. Our current Western calendars, to know where the moon is, you typically have to have that marked somewhere in the calendar, as it's you don't have new moon the first day of the month. Consistently. How did these objects illuminate the earth? Well, this was rather obvious to the ancients, and included both the sun illuminating the earth during the daytime, and the moon illuminating the night, and possibly even the stars illuminating the night when the moon was in its dark phase, if you like. To govern day and night. Probably govern should be translated here as dominate, clearly. The sun dominates the day, and when it is up at night, the moon dominates the night, and dominates the stars also. All these light sources are, as we see in the account, like the light itself, good. So, that's kind of a quick tour of these two passages. Some conclusions. God created light, which is necessary for all of life as we know it. It's easy for us to be nonchalant, to be laid back, to take such things for granted, to be unthankful. This is wrong. We need to continue to remind ourselves that God has given us everything good we have. James expresses it this way in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. Along with light, and partly because of light, God has given us life, and illumination, and warmth, and timekeepers. Our question, even here in the 21st century, Are we using these things in such a way that shows that we know where they came from? Well, that's the end of our talk, and I trust the Lord might use that in your life to help you appreciate more about His work and creation. Thank you very much.